Well, hey, and welcome to the Voices of Social Change podcast. I'm Josh, and I founded this community because I want to help businesses make a dollar and a difference. So if you dream of starting a cause-based business, have one already, or maybe you just want to create a movement, you've found yourself in the right place. This is the community and podcast for cause-based leaders who want to make a dollar and a difference. We interview social entrepreneurs from all over the world and share their stories and tools with you so that you can learn from the best. Well, hey, everyone, and welcome to the Voices of Social Change podcast. I'm Josh, and I podcast this proudly from the Kansas City Startup Village. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. I have worked out a deal with them for all of us to get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial. The way that you'll get that is if you go to audibletrial.com/social change. audibletrial.com/social change. And if you're driving, don't worry about it. Don't be dangerous and write that down. I will put that in the show notes for you so you can click through, get your free audiobook. If you're like me, you listen to podcasts, you like listening to books on audio as well. Audible has been an incredible tool for me as I've grown this movement, and I really believe in it. And so that's really why I wanted to go out and get this special link for you. Also, by the way, I don't want to just give you that without giving you a book recommendation. So the book I want to recommend today is called Out of Poverty, and it's by a guy named Paul Pollack. And I'll be putting a link to that as well. But Paul Pollack is, I think, an absolute revolutionary in the social entrepreneurship space. He's not as known a name as some of the other ones out there, but I think he should be. He's literally lifted millions of people out of poverty by going into situations in developing countries and finding opportunities to create businesses, to create opportunities for people that are living on less than $2 a day. And he has some really incredible philosophies, and he's also just a very kind, humble, thoughtful, and intelligent and insightful individual. And his book, Out of Poverty, really shaped so much about who I am and who we are here, or at least who Social Change Nation is, you know, how this movement came together and some of the philosophies we have around here were really shaped by Paul Pollack and his book, Out of Poverty. So I would strongly recommend you run and grab that book or any one of the other 150,000 titles you can choose from to use up that free download with Audible. But again, go and grab that at audibletrial.com/social change, and you can link up with that there. Okay, so we're just about to launch into this week's interview, and the only thing that I want to chat through with you real quick before we get started. First of all, if you're just tuning in for the first time, welcome. We're glad to have you here with the Voices of Social Change podcast and in the Social Change Nation community. And if you are listening in for the first time, a couple things you'll want to do. You'll want to subscribe to this podcast. You can do that in iTunes, Stitcher, Podbay, any of the major ones where we're linked up with. So you can just subscribe that way. Another thing that you'll want to do is sign up for our newsletter. You can do that in a lot of different ways on our website, but if you just run to socialchangenation.com, you'll see a little sign-in box on the right, or also something will come up at you within a few minutes on the website and let you know if you want the free resource guide. You can do that and give us your email for that. But what that does is that gets you on our weekly update, and that weekly update really just feeds the podcast. We have two podcasts, a two-part interview podcast each week, and then usually I'm doing a bonus podcast towards Friday. And so that weekly update will get you that, but then I also write a blog post, and it'll get you all those things straight to your inbox, so you can just click right in and keep up to date with everything we have going on here at Social Change Nation and just get all the best tools for creating a movement that makes a dollar and a difference. And by the way, if you're just tuning in for the first time, understand that not everyone we interview on here is pursuing some kind of a for-profit venture. That dollar piece, what it's really about is that at the end of the day, we realize as change agents that to create sustainable movements, we have to create a sustainable plan to fund it, to pay our people, and to keep that movement growing. And that's the way we actually make the largest impact and help the most people. So we really value that as important. No matter whether your model is nonprofit, for-profit, some kind of a hybrid, we want to talk about on this show about how you make it financially sustainable. And so that's where that dollar piece comes in. And then the difference piece, I think, is self-explanatory. So, okay. Well, again, if you're tuning in for the first time, welcome. If you've been here with us for a long time, welcome back. Sit back, relax, and let's get into this interview. Well, hey, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome once again to the Voices of Social Change podcast. I'm your host, Josh Shookman, and as always, I'm podcasting proudly from the Kansas City Startup Village. I am absolutely stoked for today's interview because Kyle is a person that I've been getting to know through his website and the story of his company over the last few weeks, but this is the first time that he and I have connected, so I'm really excited to chat with him. Kyle will bring us some great insight, I know, and he has a very unique perspective. Kyle Parsons is who is our guest today, and he's a revolutionary social entrepreneur who used his love of the surf to transform lives and how we perceive waste. He founded a cause-based business called Indosol, and the idea for Indosol was conceived on a surf trip to Bali, Indonesia in 2004. It was then that he and some surfer pals on that trip were struck by the environmental issues faced by Indonesians and inspired by an unusual pair of sandals that they saw people wearing there. Kyle and his pals combined these two things and created a unique solution to the problem of pollution in Indonesia in the form of a product that was both fashionable and functional. And I can't wait to have Kyle tell you about that. Before I let him chime in, I want to share one last thing with you because I really love this. I think their mantra for Indosol is so powerful. And here it is. Join us on a quest to save 1 million tires from landfills and give them new life as soles for our footwear. Kyle, I love that. And I just want to thank you so much for being here today to share your heart and your passion for this.
Yeah, thanks, Josh. It's a pleasure to be on the show today.
Absolutely. Well, why don't you go ahead and get the ball rolling for us, Kyle? I gave you just a brief intro here. Go ahead and share more about yourself with us than I just did and talk to us about Indosol from your perspective.
Yeah, thanks. My upbringing was, in the Northeast in New England, not that unusual. Went to prep school. I went to college, and when I graduated college, I had an itching for adventure. I really wanted to do something cool, and I didn't have any money, but I knew I wanted to do something. So I just got my car. I drove to California. That was my first step. My second step was getting a job in retail and becoming a sales rep and just learning how to sell products to retailers and just kind of getting an understanding, for what that whole world was like. Going backwards, I had had a summer job at a landfill once and just recycling trash and shipping it off an island. Kind of a nasty job dealing with trash, but it helped me like really understand the importance of recycling and why we needed to give new purpose to our waste, and that, waste was actually a problem. This was back in 1998, where nobody really acknowledged that there was a problem. So going back and going forward into my retail background, I found a love for product and got a lot of inspiration from the fashion industry and also action sports and surfing and snowboarding and those kinds of activities. I took a trip to Bali, Indonesia for the first time in 2004, and I was just absolutely blown away by the beauty of the land and captivated by the people and the culture. Everybody is so nice and accommodating there. Also, they're very handy. They can make just about anything. And they're so resourceful with using anything around them, putting it together into something beautiful and, of course, selling it to make money. Indonesia's, one of the poorest countries in the world overall. So people need to be creative and making money. I was looking for a unique pair of sandals while I was there and found a pair of sandals with a repurposed tire on the sole. The sandals overall were pretty clunky. They actually weren't that attractive, nor were they comfortable. But I was really inspired by the fact that the tire on the sole had, had taken a new life as a raw tire, which would ordinarily end up in the trash, but now it's the sole of a shoe. So kind of a light bulb went off, and having a background in both recycling and in fashion, I thought about the two coming together into a beautiful new product that could be, cool and potentially comfortable. So the idea was born. The financial upstart to IndoSol was completely nil. I needed to figure that out. I needed to save my pennies and get back to Indonesia time and time again in order to pursue my dream. That was definitely a challenge. But after, you know, 5 or 6 trips over to Indonesia, just making sandals, bringing them home in a suitcase, I was able to conceptualize and write a business plan for a legitimate business and repurposing tires and making them into the soles of sandals. I partnered with a manufacturer, and by the time 2009 came around, we did our first shipment of 500 pair of sandals from Bali to the USA, and IndoSol was born at that point. And now we're going into our 6th year here in 2015, and we proudly employ around 40 Balinese craft people and 6 full-time Americans.
Wow. That's amazing. And, you know, one piece of your story I didn't know that you had formerly worked in the waste industry. I'm a proud alum of 1-800-GOT-JUNK. I worked there too. So, but I wanted to actually, you know, more than just kind of mention that, I wanted to land on that. I mean, I think that there are so many amazing nuggets that you just shared with us, and we will unpack more about the IndoSol story and the model and the IndoSol family there. But I want to land on one thing that you mentioned there. You know, this idea that you had worked in the waste industry. And I think that's a really important point, especially for us listening now, because that's something that, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, Kyle, but I would imagine at the time you had no idea what that would lead to and how that would inform you about what you would do. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely not.
Yeah. And so I think that's interesting, the pieces of our lives that come together to ultimately contribute to what is ultimately our mission and what becomes our movement. And that, you know, it's so fascinating because 1-800-GOT-JUNK, I mean, it was just a college job for me, but the things that I learned about how we recycle and how we repurpose were so valuable, and things that I carried through in ways that I would have never imagined.
So, right. Yeah. It really allows us to take the blinders off and get in touch with our creative side, you know, and, you know, as well as, you know, doing good and chipping in any way we can personally.
Yeah. So moral of the story, I think, is, you know, pay attention to those moments. You never know what treasure will be buried, literally. So great stuff. Kyle, what would you say is your life mantra?
Oh, my life mantra, you know, is to do what I love and, you know, have as much as fun as I can doing it. You know, and that's what created IndoSol. You know, it was a lifestyle choice. Absolutely. I decided that I wanted to travel. I wanted to make a difference. I wanted to have a product-based business. I was determined to do it. So it started by just asking random people on the streets of Indonesia where the shoe factory was. I didn't speak the language. But it was just sheer determination to create this business and thus a lifestyle that, suited me.
Yeah. Just made it happen. And in the process, helping a lot of people in some great ways. So terrific stuff. Well, great. And to you, Kyle, what does it mean to be a social entrepreneur?
Wow. Well, good question. You know, it's, I'd say it's, you know, it's just, it's all about helping people and connection with the people. You know, I found a connection with the people in Indonesia right off the bat. The way I felt was that I couldn't create a business like IndoSol unless there was a connection with the people. And there were others, you know, recognizing the problem and, you know, volunteering to help. One thing that about being a social entrepreneur that's so wonderful is that people want to be involved. They want to help. They want to be part of something that's doing good and something unique. So that's really gratifying in every way. And also helpful when, you know, you're starting out your own endeavor, which can be overwhelming.
Yeah, absolutely is. I think all of us tuning in can attest to that. The ups and downs are a daily thing.
Yeah,
it's a big project. Well, great. So Talk to us then about, you know, of all the social issues out there, what caused you ultimately to land on the issue of repurposing of waste and specifically of employment in Indonesia as well?
Yeah, well, you know, they say that sometimes things just sort of happen, or you're led by fate. And I truly believe that. I believe that Bali matched up a lot of different things that I loved, you know, that represented me in my passions, you know, surfing, you know, beach, ocean, but also, you know, manufacturing and fashion and good people. So it led me there, and it hooked me. So Bali was really the first step. I mean, I wasn't going to go back there and start a product-based business if I didn't, you know, again, like the people and liked the environment. So that was really the first step.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And then talking more about the structure of Indosol, a lot of entrepreneurs I interview have gone with a for-profit cause-based business. Some have a nonprofit, and some have more of a hybrid structure. Can you talk to us about the particular structure you chose and how successful that's worked for you?
Yes. Well, we're a for-profit basis with an environmental and a social impact angle. You know, to start a shoe company, it takes money. You know, it takes a good amount of money and also manpower to get things off the ground. We chose this structure because we found that we needed investors. We needed outside capital in order to really get the engine running. But we also wanted to help people and help the environment. So, you know, again, in one of the benefits of being a social entrepreneur is you find other social entrepreneurs and people that are just really interested in the cause and in joining the team and making a difference. So, you know, as the years went, we were able to find, you know, angel investors and other social entrepreneurs that were able to, you know, chip in, invest in the business, get a little bit of equity in return, and then open us up to their networks and pass us on and, you know, join the charge.
Yeah. Love that. Well, and I want to land there for just one second, because Kyle, you and I talked about that offline just before the call, the idea of how supportive this community of social entrepreneurs really is. And that's an important message for us listening in. You can only go so far going alone. In fact, I don't think you get very far at all. You know, very, very early on in your movement, you will want to link up with other change agents. And there are a lot of them out there, and you will find that they are very supportive, like Kyle is mentioning here. But make that a part of your plan right away. I mean, I can say personally for me too, the partnerships I've had along the way, the people that have supported what we've been doing over at Social Change Nation, come on for a podcast, commented on something, that has been huge. And I couldn't have done it without them and without linking arms with other like-minded individuals. So that's such a key part of any movement, I think.
Yes, absolutely. And one I'm thankful for.
Yeah, definitely. Well, great. So talk to us then, Kyle, about the accomplishment or the success of Indosol that you're just most proud of.
Yes. Well, right now, you know, if you look at our website, indosol.com, you'll see a tire ticker in the upper right corner. It goes upwards every day. But so far, we've saved just shy of 30,000 tires and prevented them from going to the landfill. So all of the waste tires, you know, all the tires that come off of people's, you know, cars, motorcycles, or trucks, they're headed towards the landfill unless they're scooped up and brought to some kind of recycling facility. We've managed to save 30,000 of these tires and then make them into soles of our footwear. You can make about 2 pairs of shoes from 1 tire. So that means we've manufactured close to 60,000 pairs of shoes over the last 5 years. And our overall mission is to save 1 million tires from the landfill. So we do have a ways to go, but we're following a course, and our business has been growing each and every year. And each and every year, our product gets better and better, more and more refined. We're able to streamline the production process and do that in also the cleanest and the greenest way possible in making shoes. There's no melting down of the rubber. There's no toxic off-gassing. It's a truly organic manufacturing process. And, you know, and also employing local craftspeople in Indonesia. These are all, you know, fully grown people with families, and they're professional crafters. And, you know, we're proud, you know, saving 30,000 tires, turning them into 60,000 pairs of shoes, and employing, you know, 40 people to make these shoes and give them some good work to support their families.
Yeah. I love that response. And that honestly is what I love most about cause-based business. Everybody I've interviewed when I've asked them about this success question has always answered in one way or another, talking about the level of social change they've created, either tires out of a landfill, people given jobs. They've framed success in that way. And I think that's a really important message for those of us tuning in, that as a social entrepreneur, defining your success in that way is very important. Defining your success in terms of others and in terms of the change that you've made and the social impact you've made is really, I think, a defining feature of a social entrepreneur and a cause-based entrepreneur. Absolutely. So yeah, you passed the test, Kyle.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate that. And observance of, you know, of other companies in the marketplace and the general trend in, you know, this whole saving the world movement. It's a lot of, sometimes the waters are a bit muddied as far as to exactly what's being done, you know, and how that's quantified. Mm-hmm. It was our mission from the beginning to be as transparent as possible in all areas of our business. So, you know, what we wanted to do is get certified as a B Corporation, which, you know, tells the world that we have, you know, completely fair labor and, you know, and working standards in our factories. But also, you know, that we're quantifying, you know, the waste that we're taking from the earth and making that into shoes by incorporating the tire ticker into, you know, our website and overall business.
Yeah, absolutely. And along those lines, I would also like to highlight for everyone tuning in, you know, Kyle talks about his shoes. They are absolutely beautiful. As part of putting together our cause-based shopping guide, which if you haven't heard me talk about that yet, that's at socialgoodshopping.com. But as part of putting that together, we really dug in deep to a lot of what Kyle offers through Indosole, and they are absolutely beautiful products that have an incredible story. So definitely have a look at those. It's just such a unique design, and it's not, you know, I think the first thing I thought in my head when I thought of a tire was a little different, was very different from the beautiful pieces of work that Kyle really puts out at Indosole. So really encourage you to take a look at that and see what we really mean here by repurpose and rebirthing something, taking something that was formerly waste and turning it into something beautiful, because they really excel at that. So definitely good for taking a look. Well, great. Well, Kyle, we just talked about the success that you're most proud of, but we know that any movement has its share of challenges. So what's the largest challenge you feel you faced in building Indosole, and tell us how you ever overcame it?
Oh, there's been so many challenges that, you know, it would probably take us half a day on this on this call to go through all of them. But, you know, at the beginning, it started with something as simple as who's going to make the shoes? How do I find a factory? You know, I had never made shoes before. Didn't have a clue. I had an idea. I knew style. I knew what, you know, American expectations were like. I knew they had to be good. I knew they had to be comfortable, but I didn't know who's going to do it. So, you know, in a far off country where I didn't speak the language, that was the first challenge, was finding a factory. I finally got one, partnered up, and we started making shoes and just making them better and better with each pair that came out. And, you know, I had to really be hands-on in that process and right in there and learn about the ergonomics of footwear and how to make a shoe, which was a great learning experience. The second challenge was, okay, well, you know, now we have a product and we have a business model. How are we going to fund it? I didn't, you know, again, I didn't have a clue on how to start a business like this and get it off the ground. I actually didn't understand and severely underestimated how much money was actually needed. You know, when you take into all the variables in account, which you are importing, you have all these different sizes of shoes. You know, you have to get registered, seller's permits, insurance, and, you know, all this good stuff. So the next challenge was, you know, getting some financial backing on the company, which will, you know, always be an ongoing process. But it started with a $10,000 loan from U.S. Bank in San Francisco. And then the second level was a $10,000 investment from one of my roommates in San Francisco who worked with a software company and offered to help me. And then just, you know, on and on, and networking and finding good people and other social entrepreneurs and people that, you know, had a little bit of money, but also, you know, had an interest in the business, as I mentioned. And that's definitely, you know, a challenge for an entrepreneur is understanding how to pitch investors, you know, how to give value to their business and to project that and to sell someone on it, to have them invest and join your mission with you. Mm-hmm. So that's been a big challenge. You know, and then there's constantly new challenges popping up each and every day. And some can be expected and some can be completely blindsiding. You never know. That's what keeps it all exciting and interesting, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, one thing I'm curious about, you mentioned, Kyle, I want to follow up on. You know, I'm in the startup community here in Kansas City, and of course San Francisco is very much a big startup community. So this idea of pitching and investor funding is definitely a conversation we have going on here in our startup community as well. You know, it's something that any startup faces, like you said. Do you think there are any different strategies that we need to be mindful of as cause-based entrepreneurs, or do you think that the idea of pitching for funding and networking, like you mentioned, is the same for social entrepreneurs as it is for traditional entrepreneurs?
You know, yes and no. I think in a lot of ways it is the same. You know, it does attract a different category of investor. You know, I sometimes joke that if I went on to Shark Tank that I'd probably get laughed out of the room. But, you know, there's a variety of different investors in this world, and we truly look for, you know, the ones that are all into the social mission and making change. Mm-hmm. Getting a return on your investment is always very important with a shoe company and a business like ours. It's definitely, you know, something that we're in with a long-term vision, and, you know, each and every year things are getting better and better, and we're, you know, scaling towards profitability. But it's definitely kind of a profiled approach to, you know, who gets involved, and in ways that's a great thing.
Mm-hmm. And for those of us looking to start cause-based businesses, is there any channel you would say that'd be worth looking at to find those cause-minded investors?
Oh yeah. Well, you know, for us, it started with friends and family, but then as things progressed, I needed to get involved with some other cause. Like I got a community based loan in San Francisco, Kiva. I did a Kiva zip loan. We've done that twice now, and they are absolutely amazing. Yeah. And that's, for anyone who doesn't know, it's a crowdsourced loan. Mm-hmm. And it's interest free, and it's based around, you know, social mission based businesses. Mm-hmm. So check that out, kiva.org. And then there's more and more of these, you know, investment firms popping up that are into, you know, social minded businesses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we actually chatted with Johnny Price of Kiva Zip on here. It's been a few weeks now, but did you run into him as you were interacting with him?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, he's a friend of mine, and he's been great.
Yeah, he's a great dude, but that's that's terrific. So great to hear. Yeah, no, that's, I really appreciate that, because I think it's just some very practical advice for us. That was kind of my hunch, was that there were some special channels that might be more beneficial for us. So I really appreciate you giving us some on the ground insight. Okay, so last question in this section. In one quick sentence, Kyle, what would you say leads to a successful social venture? What's the biggest thing that leads to a successful social venture, I should say?
Yeah, a clear message with a tangible product and an end result.
Perfect. Love it. Well, great. Well, we will be right back here with Kyle of Indosol. We're going to take just a quick break, and then we'll be back as we chat about some real specific questions to Indosol and their story and their process. So be right back with you here on the Voices of Social Change podcast. Hey, Change Nation, Josh here again. Remember, I mentioned at the beginning, for those of us tuning in to the Voices of Social Change podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to check that out. This is something I personally recommend very strongly. If you want to be a leader, you have got to be a reader. And I have used Audible personally for a very long time. If you're listening to podcasts too, by the way, you're already pretty inclined to listening to audio content. I think audiobooks are a great thing. I've listened to hundreds of them over the years, and they've shaped a lot about what I do. And remember also that our book recommendation for today is Out of Poverty by Paul Pollack. Out of Poverty, Paul Pollack. He is an inspiring man, has literally lifted millions out of poverty, and has kept humble and kept kind, and has shared his wisdom and insight with a lot of change agents around the world. So if you want to get that audiobook or any one of the hundreds of thousands of other ones out there for free, go to audibletrial.com/social change. audibletrial.com/social change for your free audiobook. All right, let's get back to it.